Let us turn to that passage that we read together in Luke chapter 15. And there's four words in verse 2 of the chapter. Luke 15, verse 2. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. With our Bibles open, let us ask for God's blessing on the word tonight. O Lord, our God, we have thy word open before us, and we pray that we would see the wonder of thy grace and of thy mercy, in that thou, who art the God of salvation, has condescended to save sinners such as we are. We pray for thy grace and thy mercy upon us. Grant us the hearing ear, the understanding heart, and that thou wouldst give us that word from thyself. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now the occasion when these words were spoken was when many sinners were seeking the Savior. Verse 1 tells us that all the publicans and sinners drew near to the Lord to listen to his preaching. The words indicate that in the place where Christ was ministering, there was a great awakening, and that all of these people were moved to seek him. Anxious, burdened, guilty, men and women, their lives wrecked and miserable due to their sin, each sensing the awful load of iniquity on their soul. They came to the only one who could help them. They were welcomed and warmly received by the Savior. But when the Lord is at work, the enemy's also at work, purposing to destroy and do all that he can to resist and undermine what the Lord by his Spirit is doing in sinners' lives. And we read this in verse 2 because it tells us there that the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against Christ. And we should never fail to keep in mind that murmuring is always at the instigation of Satan. The actual word for murmuring that we have here is the idea of murmuring through, to murmur through, and signifies that the murmuring was spreading through the entire crowd as it gathered. Most likely it started with one or two, but then it started to filter through the group of these religious leaders until all were involved and guilty of this indignation and this hatred for the Savior. The allegation that the murmurers made is found in these words of our text. And they said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And the irony of the incident is that what was intended by the people who were saying this to slander the Savior was actually conveyed in terms that convey this glorious truth. What men were saying in malice is wonderfully turned and used by God to declare the truth of the Savior. Jesus is the one who receives sinners. Now here is an instance where something that was spoken in malice and intended to do harm became the statement of gospel truth. In other words, what Satan meant to for evil, the Lord meant for good, and sovereignly had all of these evil men speak truth of the most wonderful kind, the truth that underlines the words that Christ does receive sinners. It is a fact of divine revelation that Christ receives and welcomes sinners and with them enters into the most real and blessed fellowship and begins in time and continues into eternity. When we turn back to Genesis chapter 3, we have there an account of what happened in the Garden of Eden and how the in verse 22, it tells us there about the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now let it, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And what a solemn witness this is, how man was driven out of Eden and barred from any possibility of a way back to God's presence and into fellowship with him. You see, anything that's based on human effort or your own good works will never get you into heaven. But there is the presentation of this great truth, that by grace the barrier that blocked man from the way to the tree of life has been removed, and sinful men and women could be welcomed back into real personal communion with a living God. Now, there are 3 points I want to consider about this passage tonight of "this man receiveth sinners." In the first place, the people received. In the second place, we'll consider the privileges enjoyed. And in the third place, the prospect of heaven. So in the first place, then, the people received. Now, the only people that Christ receives are sinners. You see, the religious leaders in the day had said these words, "this man receiveth sinners," and they said it in malice and anger and trying to slander the Savior. And they were saying it because they were witnessing all of these notorious sinners that were coming to Christ and seeking him. And this reveals something about the mindset of these Pharisees and scribes. You see, they thought that they were not sinners. They placed this line between themselves and those who were being received by Christ, and they were saying that they were righteous, that they were holy. They didn't need the Savior. You see, they thought that they were so righteous and not needing the Savior that they did not want to be included with these people, with the number of people that were coming to be received by Christ. And they obviously felt that they were already righteous. They had done everything that they felt that was keeping the law. They were in no need of the Savior. We have an account of that in Luke chapter 7, where there's a story there of Simon. And Simon there in Luke chapter 7 and verse 39, it says, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." You see, she was a sinner, and he wasn't. He was righteous, and he had no need of Christ. And also, there's a Pharisee over in Luke chapter 18, where we have the story there in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9 about the Pharisee and the publican. And it tells us there, "he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." The typical Pharisee. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." You see, you can see his attitude and his approach. He's just one who despises all of these people. And he says, "I'm righteous. And I'm righteous in the eyes of God. And I have no need of Christ." You see, by saying this about themselves, they were saying that the only people that Christ receives are sinners. And how absolutely true this is, that Christ receives no one else but sinners. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus there tells us in verse number 13, we can read from verse 11, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Christ receives only sinners. And what a searching truth this is. Do you know yourself as a sinner? And also, Christ receives those who have sensed their need of him. People who have a sense of their own sin. In that passage that we read in Luke 15 and verse 1, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. And literally this reads that, and they were drawing near to him. It has this idea of this constant drawing near to Christ. They were hungry. They were anxious for his word. The inference is that they were troubled and burdened by their sin and felt their need of deliverance. And Christ verifies this in the three parables that he tells us. He tells us the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In each case, the sinner's plight because of sin is highlighted. There's this progression in the development of the sinner's lost state. The lost sheep is in danger, and he's being sought. The lost coin is in darkness, and she lights the candle to find that lost coin. And the lost son is in degradation. What a picture this is of what sin does to man. It's time for you to realize what sin is doing in your life. You're not only in danger, you're in darkness. And sin has led you into degradation and holds you there. And Christ is the one who receives sinners. See, Christ Jesus, in showing in that parable of the prodigal, in verse 14, it tells us, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And here's somebody being awakened to their need of the Savior. And in verse 17, it says, he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, the sinner that senses their need of sin will turn in repentance and will ask for mercy. And Christ Jesus warmly receives and willingly receives sinners. If you sense your need of your sin, if you sense the need of the Savior who is the Savior of sinners, you need to flee to him without delay. The Savior's calling you. He's saying, come unto me. Now Christ also receives those who have seen that he can save them. You see, the Pharisees had no place for Christ Jesus in their heart. They had no desire to seek him. They saw no value or beauty in Christ, but the publicans and sinners sought him because they saw in him what would meet the need of their soul. You see, they were convinced that he could save them. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. In this parable of the lost sheep in verse 5, it tells us there, and when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. This is a picture of the saving work of Christ Jesus. You see, to be set on Christ's shoulders is to be taken out of the muck and the mire of sin to be taken up from the earth where it had stayed and where it was lost, and to be taken from that place and put to a new position. The psalmist in Psalm 40 says, "He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way." You see, what condescension of our Lord to stoop down and lift a poor, helpless, needy sinner from the mire of sin and set him on his shoulders. To be set on the shoulders is also to have all the weight on him. You see, in his saving work, Christ Jesus is the great burden bearer. All our sin was laid on him. We have that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, where it tells us, "Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree." The full responsibility of our soul's well-being rests on Christ. There's this beautiful passage in the book of Exodus, chapter 28 and verse 11. And there it's talking about the high priest's garments. And in Exodus 28 and 11, it tells us there about the names of the tribes that were in the ephod that the high priest wore. Exodus 28:11. It says, "With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial." There's the names inscribed. And the Lord Jesus has the names of his people inscribed on the stones, on the ephod, on his shoulders. You see, he's the great burden bearer. He knows the need of your soul, and he's able to satisfy every need that you have. And then also, to be set on his shoulders is to be carried by the shepherd all the way home. The sheep was not left to make or to find his own way home, but the shepherd carries the sheep, and teaching us that the Lord carries his people all the way to glory. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 3, we read there about this beautiful truth. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you." Born by the Savior, from the womb to the grave, from the beginning to the end and into glory. What a beautiful picture this is of our Savior. Now, secondly, we want to consider the privileges enjoyed. This man receiveth sinners. The word "receiveth" there has the meaning of being warmly welcomed and favorably received. You see, it brings a sinner into a place of privilege that they weren't in before. It's to be brought into a place of personal union with Jesus Christ. This has the idea of the Lord personally embracing the sinner. The Apostle Paul was able to say, "He loved me and gave himself for me." You see, joining himself to the sinner, Christ Jesus receives the sinner, and he receives that person into the most intimate union and favor with God, because of the merit of his finished work. What favor, what blessing, what privilege is ours to be accepted in the beloved as we have it in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. It's also to be brought into the blessings that Christ has won and purchased for the sinner. You see, by his perfect righteousness and his perfect obedience for us, Christ has purchased all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. When Christ receives a sinner, he bestows on them all that they need. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 that tells us there, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." But it's also to be changed by his grace and by the power of his Spirit. You see, the Pharisees did not say that when Christ receives sinners, he delivers them from their sin. But this is true. Think of the publicans and sinners in the Gospels whose lives were transformed when they met Christ. Think of the publican in the temple as he's praying. And it tells us there that he wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. And he cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." There's a cry that the Lord hears. And also Zacchaeus, the publican, he was hated because he was a tax collector, and yet he was transformed and changed by his meeting with the Savior. Think of the woman in Luke 7 who washed the Savior's feet, and Christ Jesus was able to say she loved much, and to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. You see, Jesus loved her with an everlasting love. Think of the thief on the cross. He was able to say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Christ, in his power, was able to say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." These were made new creatures in Christ when Christ received them. You see, Christ doesn't leave sinners as he finds them. He changes them. He makes them something that they weren't before. He turns them into penitent, believing, praying people. Come to Christ. Enjoy the privileges that are found in him. He waits to be gracious. Now there are words in the third place I want to consider, the prospect of heaven. Note the words at the end of the text. It says, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." In Scripture, this is often used as a symbol of fellowship. Christ spreads a table for those he receives and enters into this blessed fellowship and communion. In John chapter 12, we have there the story of Lazarus. And here Lazarus, who had died, and Christ had raised him from the dead, is now sitting at the table with the Savior and having supper with him. It tells us in John 12 and verse 1, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. What a beautiful picture this is. You see, Christ Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. There's this fellowship and communion with the Savior that the world knows nothing about. The world knows nothing about that fellowship that the believer has with Jesus Christ. as we go through this world, as we go about our daily lives, as we're in the world, may we be not of the world. May we know what it is to enjoy that fellowship with Jesus Christ, our living Savior. But there's not only fellowship in time, but this is a picture of the fellowship that awaits the people of God in eternity. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 7, we read there, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Sinner, flee to Christ and make sure that you will be there on that great day. Because today is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May God bless this meditation on his word to our never-dying souls. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we give thee thanks that we're not left in heathen darkness, but that we have the light of life before us. We pray that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts, that thou wouldst turn us from the sleep of death to that light and liberty that is found in thee, the living God. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give to us that true longing and desire to be with Christ, which is far better. Free us, we pray, from being ensnared by the things of time and sense, but may our hope and affection be on that which is unseen and eternal. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word to our souls, mix it with faith in our hearts, and accept of us for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us turn in our hymn book to hymn number 309. Hymn number 309. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. We'll stand and sing this hymn to God's praise. Hymn number 309, Softly and Tenderly.
Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.